Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. We are on to Week 17. Field, Matthew, Daniel, and Stefania. Of course, the great Stefania here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Matthew. How are you doing, my friend?
You know what? I'm all right. Okay. All things considered. Yep. All things considered.
All things considered.
Whatever.
Stefania is over there like,
here's my question. This is surprise. I'm surprised. So I put a poll up on Twitter.
Okay. Oh, good.
I put it up, I don't know, 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Already 10,000 votes in 10 minutes.
Oh, respect. I'll go vote for it.
And here's the question.
Okay. I'm voting.
Genuinely curious. Did the best team in your league, most total points regular season, make the finals?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Okay.
Where do you think no is at?
If I had to get, so
we're at 10,000 votes already.
Part of me is like, oh, you know, like 95% is no, because it's such a weird year.
That's what I thought it was going to be. It's actually at 58% no, which is a much higher percentage of yes.
That is that pretty high percentage of yes.
Almost 40% of the best team in the league made the playoffs, which I was shocked to see that number. We'll see. I left it up for a day, so we'll see. Go ahead and vote.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
But I just, it was such a, you know, add Alvin Kamara to the names of, I mean, a year ago, Alvin Kamara was scoring 6 touchdowns and leading teams to their titles.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Yeah. Literally.
6 touchdowns.
Yeah. Oh, so know. Like, I think
the fantasy gods giveth and the fantasy gods taketh away.
I really wonder if, I've been thinking about this because someone like Alvin Kamara, we're going to talk about Daryl Henderson in a second, and amongst a variety of other topics, is I almost wonder if we spend too much time in the preseason focusing in on things that we...
Well, I don't even know what you're going to say, but whatever it is, yes. We focus, we spend too much time doing it.
Focus in on things that we expect or that we project to last for an entire season. When the reality is that how many things, other than Cooper Kupp, have been consistent since week one this year?
Field, I make this point every single year. I've made it for years upon years upon years in the Draft Day Manifesto. I make it whatever. We play a weekly game.
Right.
Yeah. So much of the preseason analysis is based on a year. This guy was the number 3 wide receiver for a year. This guy was the best wide, you know, once this running back went down, he was for the rest of the year. And I'm guilty of this as well.
We all are.
The fact of the matter is I always talk about this, that you want, that you need guys that can win you your league over the, I mean, and there's no better example of it this past weekend where I bet you, like, I don't know if we have this research poll. I'm sure we don't have it from ESPN, but it'd be interesting to find out if we could get it pulled. How many, I know we usually have like rosters of playoff bound teams. How many players are on the most roster on the most playoff teams?
Right.
But how many people from week 16 made week 17 had Justin Jackson or Rex Burkhead or Isaiah McKenzie or Byron Pringle or any of these guys that sort of like you're looking around, you're desperate. And I just lost a guy and I need this guy. And I'm there wasn't a great tight end replacement really, but you know, like you lost Travis Kelce. And so,
these past few weeks have made me realize more and more, there's only one skill that can guarantee you success in fantasy football. You know what that is?
What is that?
Luck.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, could have had a team. You could have seriously had a team this week that had Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler, and you could have had Travis Kelce, which not his fault he didn't play, right? But you could have had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You could have had Tom Brady as your quarterback, and lost this week.
I've made this example before, but so I am in a, I'll just say this quickly just to point this out. I am in a 12-team, 33-man dynasty league. Mm-hmm. It's a super flex dynasty league and is with a bunch of fantasy analysts that you know of, like Evan Silva's in this league, Graham Barfield, Scott Barrett, Danny Kelly, who does a great job over at The Ringer, Rich Rebar, at Lord Reeves. Like, so a bunch of really smart fantasy managers that do great content on Twitter. And there's other people in the league as well. I don't want to go through the entire league, but whatever. Every single one in the league is a rock star, right? They're all great. It's a really impressive league. And so in this league, I have for 3 straight years led the league in total points.
I basically,
it's a dynasty league. You can either build for the future or play for now. I have played for now. I've traded future draft picks and I've played for now. It's a super flex league with tight end premium scoring, which means that you get 1.5 per reception for tight ends versus just 1 point regularly. So tight ends have tremendous value in this league. in this league, I have Darren Waller and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I have Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
I have Brandon Cooks. I have Jamison Crowder, which is like whatever. But like in a league that deep, Jamison Crowder actually matters, especially considering this past week he played the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I lost Robert Woods and Chris Carson for the year. My point is like 3 years in a row, I have led this league in points. I'm not playing in the finals. Like my team just, you know what I mean? Like no Kelce, no Waller, you know, no Brandon Cooks this past week. I have Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback. Mm. He also didn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes had a nice game, but didn't have a monster game. Again, because he had no Kelce. Like, what are you going to do? And I ran into a good team. I lost to Scott Barrett, who has a very good team in that league as well. But, like, my point is I went 13-1 in the regular season, most total points, and I'm not playing in the finals. And that is a story that I've heard a lot. I had a really good team. I had a great team.
Mm.
Not That's playing fantasy for a title this year. Yeah. What are you going to do?
There are some ups and downs of fantasy football. But I always compare.
I didn't win last year, though.
There you go.
Scott Barrett.
Okay.
Just want to point that out.
I compare it to golf. Right. And when I play golf, and I'm not a good golfer, I don't cast any aspersions about that. But on the rare occasion when I do play good golf, what I can't stop thinking about is the couple of putts that I missed that could have pushed my score even lower. When I play bad golf, which is most of the time, I think about those few good shots I did hit that tell me, keep coming back, because the next time you're on the golf course, you'll hit those good shots more consistently. In fantasy football, I hope to win a title. I've got one this weekend. I hope to take home the belt. But I'm also more frustrated by some of the ones, or I should say I'm motivated by the ones that I did not win. Hope to be better next year.
It's the torture of it. In the War Room League. In the War Room League, I finished 12 points. Over the course of an entire season,
mm-hmm.
I finished 12 points behind Chad, who does a great job producing Sunday NFL Countdown. And anyway, so our producer Chad, and I finished 12 points behind him over the course of an entire year. And, you know, you think about like this drop touchdown or this play that came back due to penalty or whatever. I have Kelce in that league as well. And so like the 5 touchdown game that Mahomes threw against the Eagles, who are the worst team in the league in the NFL, and Kelce got less than 10 points in that game.
Mm.
So you think about all those different things, or times when kickers missed field goals. Greg Joseph was a kicker, and I can't tell you how many 50-yard field goals he missed, which he could normally hit. 5 points. My point of bringing that up is, had I had 13 points, had I had 12 points more than Chad, I would have played the Hasselbecks in the first round. I scored more points than them. Instead, I lost to Teddy Bruschi.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have, this week, I would have beaten the opponent that Chad played.
Oh, Matthew.
You know what I mean? You'll drive yourself crazy, though,
if you go through that step by step, because you'll see it. You're like, well, if I just won, I would have done this, and then I would have done this.
Yeah,
and
well, two things, Daniel. I'm going to be very clear here.
You are crazy.
First off, yes, I am crazy.
Okay,
like,
what do you,
like, how long have we worked together?
Long time.
Like, you're going to drive yourself crazy. What do you mean? I can't drive myself something I already am.
You're right. That's fair.
That's fair. Who I am.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, hello, kettle, this is the pot. Like, and so, first off, there's that. And secondly, what I'm doing, I would argue that most fantasy managers do. That at least I think a lot of fantasy managers do. And I agree with Field in that we celebrate, or we focus on the losses and the, oh, this the guy, or if that guy, or if I just picked up this guy, or I can't believe he dropped that touchdown, or this guy called back by penalty, or blah, 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 if I'd played that guy instead of this guy. What, like, I feel like we do that so much more than celebrate the wins.
Absolutely.
And that's sort of the mindset.
Yeah.
That's hashtag fantasy life, and that's all that. And so I always say this, Field. I believe... there's luck always involved. I believe skill gets you to the playoffs. I believe luck gets you a title.
Okay.
I genuinely believe that.
That's well said.
And this is somebody who gives advice for a living.
Right.
Like, and so, you know, anyway.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that, like, for the rest of this week and for the rest of this season, which is 2 more weeks, we're focusing on the wins. We're focusing on the wins. And I hope that anybody who was in the finals is not fretting other losses along the way that could have been more finals. Let's focus in on those finals. Let's get that final W. Let's also get to some news updates. And for that, we say hello to Stefania once again. And Stefania, the Rams backfield had plenty of injuries this year, and Darrell Henderson now is not going to play again this regular season.
Yeah, Darrell Henderson going to injured reserve, according to Sean McVay, who now has, Matthew was right, said that.
Whoa! Clip that!
No, we got to apologize. We have to apologize.
Clip that! I need that. I need that in GIF form. I need that in all forms of media.
I didn't roll my eyes enough, though.
I know. I wish you kind of mumbled it. You kind of.
I just sighed.
Say it one more time.
It was a deep
one more.
Sigh.
One more time for the people in the back, Stefania.
No, it's on the record already, and I'm not going to reiterate it. But we could see Cam Akers this week, and I will give you a quote from what Sean McVay said. He said, There is a possibility that he plays this week. He looked really good last week in practice. He did a nice job. I want to make sure that we're smart, checking all the boxes. But I mean, this guy is an impressive guy. Well, if you've been following Cam Akers on Instagram, you would know that he is an impressive guy already. You've been seeing his video. He's been doing really well. I still say that it's return to performance at an elite level, at game competition level. That's a big jump that can only be tested when you're actually in game. So sometimes they just want to test you with a few snaps. I don't know that I would be relying on him for fantasy purposes in this week's game. It sounds like he will take the field, but that's a good first step for him. And the Rams, again, are hoping to extend their season into the postseason. So for them, getting his feet wet, so to speak, and getting onto the field is a good, it's a good test. It's also a good compliment to Sony Michel, so that they'll have somebody else that people have to pay attention to. But I want to say one more thing. This is not the first instance of somebody coming back this early. You can go back to Terrell Suggs in 2012.
Oh, I remember that.
He came back at 5.5 months post-Achilles, and actually in his
season,
first
right?
game played a decent number of snaps. And actually, they went on, believe me, this is etched in my memory, they went on to win the Super Bowl that year against the 49ers. So Terrell Suggs did really well. And the thing is, it's different for different players, and certainly for a running back, the demand is different. And explosiveness and power are the things that are hardest to get back. And that's what takes a little bit longer. So as good as he looks, that may be a little bit of time coming. But it doesn't take anything away from how impressive his recovery has been. And the Rams medical staff is excellent. They always have been. They keep their IR numbers low. They do a really good job. And kudos to everyone involved for getting Cam Akers back this quickly.
And I think when you say kudos to everyone involved, it is a great story. It is a victory for Cam Akers. It is a victory for me. And I think that's what we can really celebrate here is that, you know, Cam Akers, an impressive return. Congratulations to Cam, his entire medical staff, the Rams training staff, and for me, who yesterday was completely poo-pooed when I said Cam Akers would play this week. So
no, I got
again,
to apologize
this is a victory
as well.
For all of us. This is a victory for the, you know, for again for Cam and for me. Is it that order? Or is it a victory for me and then for Cam? Who's to say? I think the important thing here is that I was right, and I have Stefania admitting that on tape.
Here's who's really was right. It was Lindsay Theory. And the reason is, I'll tell you why.
This is
true. Because the initial reporting, and it came from Adam Schefter, who I'm sure you would agree is pretty plugged in, was that this was a move designed to benefit Cam Akers, even if he did not appear in the regular season. And if the Rams had everything going perfectly, maybe they would have held off a little bit longer. I am not saying in any way that they are forcing him back in, but I'm saying that this is the time when teams sit around and ask themselves, hey, you know, if we need him, is he ready? What's one more week? You know, at this point, he looks really good. Yes, we could use him. And they have this discussion. So the intent, I don't think, Field, you were wrong. I think that this is conversation that happens with teams because the reporting initially was that he was not expected to play in the regular season. That changed because the dynamic changed, and the person who suggested it first was Lindsay Theory.
Way to go, Lindsay. As always, go find her on Twitter if you're looking for great Rams information. She also often joins us on Fantasy Football Now. So I don't want to be – so I'm super stoked for Cam Akers. I think for fantasy purposes, I would not have any interest in starting him this weekend. I'm just sort of being smart about this here, right? Are they really going to put a player on the field for a bunch of snaps 5 months after snapping his Achilles – absent Sony Michel and Jake Funk both getting hurt.
Quick question. You said you wouldn't feel comfortable starting him this week. Does that mean that you also, but you do feel comfortable adding him? Is he somebody that you think is worth adding for a fantasy playoff run?
I don't think it's a priority add. If you've got a flexible bench spot, though, it's fine. Like, I think the circumstances would have to be pretty unusual for him
to have fantasy value.
We got 2 weeks left. Many leagues don't play to week 18. Plus, I really do believe it would have to be Sony Michel gets hurt in week 17, and you're banking on that to play. And I don't even know. I don't know. Like, it's 5 months after an Achilles. If he gets hurt in week 17, they might just say it's Jake Funk for the most part in week 18.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Field. I agree that in order for him to have fantasy value in week 18, Sony Michel would need to, for some reason, be limited. And I agree with you. I would not start him this week, but I don't mind adding him as a bench add here. So 1,000% agree with the fantasy analysis here. And also, I'm not in any way trying to take credit for the reporting. I said it yesterday. I said it today.
Yeah.
It's Lindsay Theory. I was just smart enough to trust Lindsay Theory, unlike, right. you know, the two of you who poo-pooed me. I just want to point that out.
If you think about the things that Matthew has been correct on this year, Cam Akers would return and play this regular season. Cordarrelle Patterson would eventually become a fantasy superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, you were on the spot with Cam Akers. You were 8 years late on Patterson, but it still counts, right? So it's a win, is it not?
I was very, very high, especially compared to consensus on both Austin Ekeler and Jalen Hurts this year.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying. Oh my God. Go back and look at my love-hate. Like, no, listen, I have love-hate this year.
Listen, you have more correct calls each year than many people will ever have in their entire lifetime. That much is for sure.
So... anyway, but yeah, I'm just gonna need a gif of some Stefania admitting I'm right. And Field, you can take a moment here and admit.
Yeah,
it as
I know.
Well.
I legit, Stefania beat me to the punch here, but I was like, I legit owe Matthew an apology because I was dismissive of the idea of Cam Akers playing, and I'm sorry for that. You were absolutely correct on that one, and I'm running a penalty lap. I am gonna go do 10 push-ups and run a lap around campus at the end of this podcast. Which
I'm gonna need that clipped as well.
Well, I mean, I do that after every show, anyways, so it's nice to stay in shape somehow, right? Yeah. Stefania, a few more injury updates here. The Eagles will not have Miles Sanders in week 17.
Yeah, Miles Sanders already declared out for week 17, although they are saying they hope that he can avoid a stint on injured reserve, potentially be back for week 18, so there's that. Jordan Howard could possibly be back this week as well. They play Washington, so, you know, anything can happen.
It's funny, so...
No, that's not true. Anything cannot happen. They're very specific set of circumstances of what will happen.
Mm-hmm. Boston Scott will run for 200 yards on Sunday.
That's what's going to happen.
We have time on the Washington football team a little bit. But yes, Boston Scott, kind of the last man standing in this backfield right now that you trust most. A waiver ad, we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show. Stefania, we can't go a week without a 49ers injury update. And unfortunately, their quarterback is now dealing with some pain.
Yeah, you know, it makes me sad for him, right? Because this is the rep, is that Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and now, indeed, he has another injury. So the 49ers had a bonus practice yesterday. Remember, they were coming off a break after a Thursday night game. Jimmy Garoppolo did not participate, and when asked about it, Kyle Shanahan said he had a sprain of his thumb, explained that it happened when the Titans' defensive tackle, Denico Autry, sacked him. There's actually a still shot, if you can find it, on the internet where Autry is grabbing his thumb. It's the perfect mechanism for tearing the ulnar collateral ligament of your thumb because it's pulling his thumb away from the rest of his fingers. And Jimmy Garoppolo came back, stayed in the game, and I think it might explain some of the passes that he had. He sailed one over Deebo Samuel. You know, when you tear that ligament in your thumb, it can cause difficulty gripping the ball. When it happened to Drew Brees, the same injury that Drew Brees had, he actually wasn't able to grip the ball and all come back into the game. So what does that mean that he was able to come back into the game? Well, it means he must have had some stability left in his thumb, which is actually a good sign for the overall recovery process. We heard later from Adam Schefter that there was also a fracture. Well, many times when you tear the ligament, it pulls away a chip of bone. It's called an avulsion fracture. The good news about that is sometimes if it's stable, that can heal on its own. But here's the thing. Jimmy Garoppolo may want to try and play through this because if you stop playing, that's the end of the season. But he needs to be able to grip the ball. He needs to have enough stability to do so. And even if he tries to play again, there's a possibility that it could just become worse. The fracture could displace, et cetera. So there's a lot of nuance there. But as of right now, Trey Lance took all the reps in the Monday practice. Kyle Shanahan mentioned that the last 4 weeks of Trey Lance have been the best that he's seen of him. And it really sounds like they are heading for Trey Lance taking over as the quarterback.
And therein lies the interesting part of this. I think for the 49ers franchise, it's fascinating because, as we know, they've got a decision to make this offseason. I know most people would say they'll probably just let Trey Lance be the starter in 2022. That's probably the logical conclusion. But if Trey Lance is not ready, Jimmy Garoppolo has helped them win some games this year. And nobody has a vanilla, like, right in the middle take on Jimmy Garoppolo. Everything has to be very divisive. It's either he stinks and he's holding them back, or he's underappreciating. You guys are all bums for thinking otherwise. We shall see. But let's talk about the fantasy
value.
I'll
tell you this real quickly. And again, this is sort of an NFL Live discussion that I'm sure you guys will have. But Jimmy Garoppolo, make no mistake that if the 49ers let Jimmy Garoppolo go, he will sign a big contract somewhere. I don't think you guys understand how quarterback starved the NFL is.
Oh, it's,
Jimmy Garoppolo, did you watch football last night? Because if you watch football, you'd know how quarterback starved the NFL is.
Exactly. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get a massive contract from somebody this year.
There will absolutely
be a market for Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting quarterback this year.
And by the way, whether he has surgery or doesn't have surgery, ultimately, once this heals, we've seen a quarterback in Drew Brees who came back and performed very, very well after this injury. So while it's been a bit of a crazy year in terms of all the hand injuries to quarterbacks, kind of unlike a year that we've seen recently, I think you can feel good about Jimmy Garoppolo when it gets on the other side of this.
All right, so good stuff for Jimmy G's long-term outlook. We'll see in the short term. Matthew, this is a really interesting debate for Week 17 of the Fantasy Finals. Could you possibly justify playing Trey Lance? And I don't think a small number of people are starting Jimmy Garoppolo or have been in recent weeks. So it's not like people who have Jimmy G are searching for a new quarterback. You would be playing Trey Lance. I suppose the circumstances would be either you've just figured it out somehow, some way, and you've been rotating through the likes of Matt Ryan and a couple of other quarterbacks that have like been good enough in certain weeks, but also not good enough to carry your roster, or you have Lamar Jackson and you've been guessing wrong the past few weeks, but your roster is so good otherwise that you've made it through.
Yeah.
Trey Lance in the starting radar?
Right. Yeah, I think so. And so, or like, for example, Kirk Cousins, right? You know, Kirk Cousins has been a borderline top 10 quarterback for much of this year, but he struggled recently and now he plays the Packers on Sunday night. Primetime Kirk has mostly been a disappointment over the course of his career. That game is in Green Bay. Yeah. So I could see scenarios in which you might consider starting Trey Lance. And yeah, look, make no mistake, this is risk-reward territory, okay? Like, he's had two games where he got significant playing time this year. One was the Seattle game, I believe, in Week 4, when he came in for the second half. He had over 20 fantasy points. That long touchdown pass to Debo Samuel, which was basically a busted coverage. He had, you know, a couple of long runs. Actually had over 20 fantasy points in that game. His only start of the season, he had like 14.6 or something like that,
right
off the top of my head. But here's one thing I did do. I looked this up. So in the only game that he actually started, he had 16 rushing attempts, 11 of which were designed runs. Mm-hmm. So you like that floor. And that game was at Arizona. It was Week 5 and it was at Arizona, and he still got over 14 fantasy points. So my point is like, playing at Arizona, especially in the first few weeks of the season, was really tough. The Arizona defense is good, and they were even better earlier in the season. So the fact that he was able to get almost 15 fantasy points on the road in Week 5 at Arizona actually makes me feel good about the potential floor here for Trey Lance. I will tell you that we project him for 17 points or so this week. That's Mike Clay's projection. Mike does the best projections in the business.
Oh, he does them.
It's unbelievable. So I think that's a reasonable projection for him. I think 17 points with potential upside here a little bit as well. They're playing Houston, which is, I know. Well, here's the thing. the default is like, Houston stinks. That's a great matchup. Houston just make Justin Herbert look really human.
Yeah, he did.
Like this phrase gets thrown a lot of rot, but they are a plucky defense. Mm-hmm. They are a plucky defense, and they are playing high. Having said that, again, the rushing that we think of Trey Lance here will elevate him. And at least at the moment, we think Trey Lance will have a full complement of weapons the way that Herbert didn't. Herbert was without Mike Williams. He was without Jalen Guyton. He was out Austin Eckler. Like, he was missing a couple of big stars on offense there going against Houston. He still threw for over 300 yards. So I do think Trey Lance is a viable starter. Just understand the risk.
Right. And I think this might have been maybe a more thoughtful conversation a few weeks ago when you did have some guys like Patrick Mahomes struggling, but so many of the star quarterbacks have really gotten back on track recently. Mahomes has been great. Josh Allen's, he's really been phenomenal all year. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott played really well. Yeah, that's, and if Lamar plays especially. So I think he'll be outside my top 10 for sure. That being said, I do think he's an interesting player. I think this is much more about like a glimpse, not the full picture, but a glimpse into what he could look like in 2022 and beyond.
Stephon, he will be a popular, or should be a popular DFS selection this week. Wouldn't you say so, Secret Squirrel? Will he come up on the DFS CSS?
He might.
Or the CSS DFS.
CSS DFS podcast,
Yeah, understood.
All right, moving forward here, Stephania, the Chiefs are dealing with a backfield injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed some time earlier this year with the knee issue. Now he's got that collarbone/shoulder injury. What's the latest there?
Yeah, well, the earliest reports were that he had a collarbone injury. That's what the Chiefs' official Twitter account said at the time. He underwent further imaging yesterday, revealed a bruised shoulder. So the good news is that it's not something that's going to cost him extensive time, doesn't sound. But it does run the risk of him missing this week. Obviously, pain, swelling of the shoulder. We've talked about how difficult it is for a running back who's going to take contact when they lead with their shoulder to play in that kind of situation. So I would plan on making another plans if you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Plan on making another plan. Daryl Williams is the next man up in that backfield. He's been really good for the Chiefs when called upon this year. They play the Bengals on Sunday. Derek Gore will play some. I just do believe there's a chance that Williams could have 5 or 6 catches in that game. Stefania, the Browns have had a lot of players coming off the COVID list recently, and that includes Kareem Hunt. But we had a couple others placed on the COVID list yesterday, including 2 big-name wide receivers.
We did. I mean, Mike Evans was already dealing with a hamstring injury, but he has now been added to the COVID list. He was the one player on the Bucs of the big names that all had injuries that was potentially going to be available, but now out on the reserve COVID-19 list as well. Wide receiver Julio Jones, who just finally been dealing with hamstring injuries all year but continued to play, he now has been added to the reserve COVID-19 list as well. And as you said, Kareem Hunt has been activated off of that list.
We'll keep an eye on whether Mike Evans or Julio is available this week. Obviously, with Evans, it's a two-pronged thing. It's not just the COVID-19 list, but also the fact that, as Stefania referenced, he has been hurt recently. I also wonder, and they're not going to rush him back. They've got bigger goals than this. But Mike Evans, he's 101 yards to continue his streak of seasons to begin his career with at least 1,000 receiving yards. He has the longest streak ever. I'd imagine there's a point of pride involved there. We'll see if he's able to get back on the field before the season is over. Giga Maggies.
I love Mike Evans.
He's great.
Giga Maggies.
We're going to come back and talk about whatever that was last night in just a minute. But first, if you're ready for a change of pace, NerdWallet can help you take the first step towards making your dream a reality. Ready to find your dream home in your dream neighborhood? Use NerdWallet to help compare rates and find the smartest mortgage lender for you, because the right rate could help you get a place with extra space. Then compare and find the smartest credit cards with cashback rewards for furnishing your new space. Compare and find the smartest financial products for you on NerdWallet. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Yep. And I'll bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
We are back, and we're going to talk about Monday Night Football here for a second. The Dolphins win the 7th straight game. They're now 8-7. The season is not over yet, but they are now in the 7th spot in the AFC playoff picture. They became the first team ever to lose 7 games and win 7 games in a row in the same season. 20-3 is the final, and there was not much at all as far as fantasy was concerned last night. Let's be honest. Can I have 30 seconds? I know you're going to ramp, but can I have 30 seconds here for a second?
Yeah.
I think people probably know this. Like, the Saints are one of the teams that I kind of ride with. I'd be so furious right now if I were a Saints fan. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How were the Saints any better equipped to play a game last night than the Rams were, or the Washington football team was a week ago?
Or the Browns. And the answer is that they weren't.
They weren't. They were anywhere close.
They're making it up as they go along.
So I just want Saints fans to know that if you're frustrated this morning because you had to watch that last night, 21 players in the reserve COVID-19 list, like, your anger is well placed. I don't get it. And I know this is big business, and I understand why. I know the NFL, it's not always going to make sense. But good grief, that was tough to watch last night for the Saints. I just want their fans to know we understand. Like, I get your frustration this morning because that was a tough one to watch. Like, that was the Saints. That was like their fourth preseason game roster last night, right? I mean, they had some of their stars out there like Cam Jordan, Alvin Kamara, but that was tough to watch. Ian Book was obviously overmatched. We'll talk about the Saints in a second. For the Dolphins, though, Matthew,
can I just comment on that?
Please do.
Quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
The only two things I will mention here is that I guess the NFL's argument would be is that we loosened the COVID protocols, or we change it. Like, it was from when they postponed the Browns Raiders game and the Washington football team Eagles game to now, that the COVID protocols are looser, I guess, or it's easier for a player to get back. You know, I don't want to sit here and suggest that the NFL is compromising players' health or anything like that, but just there's a quicker path for players to be able to return, right? So that would be the one argument. The second thing is that I truly believe they are making it up as they go along. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you think back to, you know, like, because I could hear you talking about the Saints, you know, Saints fans have a right to be, you know, upset. And then I hear Washington football fans saying, like, we had to play guys, teams off of byes or 10 days, 3 weeks in a row. And then, you know, we had this Tuesday game and then we have to immediately go to travel to Dallas on a short week. And then I think, and then I'm hearing Broncos fans going, whatever.
Yep.
We had to start Kendall Hinton, a practice squad wide receiver at quarterback last year. Yep. You didn't give us a couple of days to let one of our four quarterbacks come off the COVID list. So I don't want to hear it from you guys, Saints fans. I can hear Broncos fans screaming that at the top of their lungs. So I truly believe they are making up as they go along. Having said that, however, while they are making up as they go along, like, we're all human. Like, the NFL isn't like a robot. The NFL is comprised of human beings trying the best they can to make decisions in a worldwide pandemic that is unprecedented. That's all any of us are doing. That's what the management here at ESPN is doing. That's what I'm doing on a daily basis. That's what families and schools and politicians and everyone across the country is trying to do. It is an unprecedented worldwide pandemic where science and knowledge changes every single day, and there are debates among smart people about what the best path forward is. I'm not talking about the dumb online arguments. I'm about whatever, I am pro vaccination. So be clear on that. But I'm just saying, we're all trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so while I do think the NFL is making up as going along, like, I don't know what else they could do. They are trying to navigate a massive multi-million dollar business that not only puts money in the pockets of the owners, but puts money in the pocket of the players, right? And not only put the money in the pocket of the players, but like money in the pocket of like the people that work the concession stands at the stadium there in New Orleans, right? I mean, like, it's such a massive ecosystem the NFL is, that's not just about the players or the owners or the quote rich people, but like there are a ton of people in this world that make their living off of NFL football games. And so massive amounts of business around every stadium, not whether it's actually in the stadium or bars or restaurants around them that rely on game day traffic. Like, all I'm saying is like, they are making it up, but we're all making it up. And, that's whatever. There's my rant.
I think the only thing that Saints fans want a little bit more of is consistency, right?
Which is fair.
I think that's the part that I think is the hardest to figure out this morning. But let's talk about the game itself.
And by the way, and from the Saints fans' point of view, like, when you think about whether it's the Bradley Roby call or, the Sean Payton suspension, or like there have been a number of instances where I can understand if I was a Saints fan, I wouldn't feel great about how they feel like they've been treated by the NFL. I completely understand that.
Let's move forward here to the game, because there was a game and the Dolphins do win 20-3. Tua was whatever. Tua had 10 fantasy points. He wasn't great. The Saints defense is legit. Tua was fine. He was good enough to win, but 10 fantasy points. I'm not sure anybody was really starting Tua last night, but Jalen Waddle continues a remarkable run this season. Yeah. Jalen Waddle has been so, so good for the Dolphins. He has a real chance over the next 2 weeks to break Anquan Boldin's single season record for rookie catches. He has 96. Bolden had 101. Now, I know some people are going to cry foul over broken records this year and going forward because there's a 17th game. I think it's fair to note that Jalen Waddle has done so by missing a game due to COVID, too. So he's going to have 16 games, the same number that Bolden had as a rookie. And he's probably going to move right past Anquan Boldin. Really impressive season from Jalen Waddle. Interestingly enough, he is the antithesis of a player in terms of how he played in college. Now in the pros, he's averaging 9.7 yards per catch, Matthew. But as far as PPR is concerned, Jalen Waddle is a super duper star.
Well, he's super versatile, and credit to the Miami Dolphins staff for using him in a variety of ways, especially as they've had a lot of different pieces around Waddle on that offense, whether it's Devontae Parker being out or Will Fuller being out, or like a lot of the people they expected to be out on that field with him haven't shown up. And so they've had to get creative in using Waddle. Seeing the post-game interview, Laura Rutledge interviewing Tua and, asking him about that. And he was just like, yeah, Waddle is a huge part of our game plan. Like, even when he's not in getting the ball, he drags a lot of defenders with him, opening up stuff for other people. So they've gotten creative, and Waddle has carried it. Really impressive player. And, credit to you, Field. He was one of Field's favorites. He was one of your guys in the preseason. So he has delivered on your promise and then some. He's been nothing short of spectacular in a game in which there was hard to find fantasy value. Once again, Jalen Waddle has his fourth straight game of 16 or more fantasy points. Double-digit targets for three straight, right?
I mean,
he's been great. Playing it forward here a little bit, other than Jalen Waddle, is there any Dolphin you feel comfortable starting next week? Devontae Parker gets completely shut down by Lattimore. Yeah. It's a three-headed monster, a three-headed ineffective monster at running back here, where Phil Lindsay comes up and all of a sudden, like Miles Gaskin, who's been the guy for much of the year, takes a back seat to him and Duke Johnson, and you're like, what? Like, Duke Johnson and Phillip Lindsay weren't even on this team a month and a half ago.
Right. It's crazy.
And now they're the two of them combined for 26 carries, I believe. Anyway, welcome to Fantasy Football 2021.
By the way, for the Saints, only one player that you will be starting anyways, that's Alvin Kamara. He had 59 yards and two catches, 7.9 fantasy points. Not what you were looking for from Alvin Kamara. A quick note.
I had a massive parlay that all I needed was 24 and a half receiving yards from Alvin Kamara for it to cash. Cause I had the Dolphins -3. I had the under. I had under on Devontae Parker receiving yards. I had Jalen Waddle anytime touchdown score. So literally would have, you know,
so close.
A couple of bucks would have been like, you know, anyway. And he caught that at the end. I was just like, I'm like, Ayanbuc's going to be under pressure a lot. He's going to dump it off to Alvin Kamara.
He had so much field there, too.
But I'm just like, how do they not target Alvin Kamara more, given how bad Ayanbuc is and knowing how bad their offensive line was going to be?
Yeah, it just was hard because Miami probably knew that was the only thing they could do, and Miami neutralized them.
Kamara his body language looked frustrated.
Well, I think everybody was.
Of course. I'm just saying.
It was really tough. You got a penalty, too. You got the taunting penalty. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, last thing just to wrap up this game and we move on, was kudos to you.
Thank you.
And Stefania. This came up on Fantasy Football Now. Somebody tweeted us and asked us, I'm in a league where literally my only choice is Jake Fromm or Ayanbuc.
Yeah.
And so they asked us, and I'll admit this. I went Jake Fromm.
And I went
Stefania and Field both went Ayanbuc.
Yep. We made a board bet.
We made a board bet. Yep. It is a victory for Field.
Hold on. Is it a victory or is it a decisive victory? Because I don't tabulate every board bet we make. But have you ever had a time where we made a bet on fantasy points scored and my player scored 10 times as many points as yours did? That's right. Ayanbuc had 10 times as many fantasy points as Jake Fromm this weekend.
How many points is that?
2 points for Ayanbuc and 0.2 for Jake Fromm.
Did the guy win his matchup this week? Do we know that?
I think we both get a lot. You know, I think we should do is like, hey, Kyle, when you tabulate
that guy win his matchup if he went with Ayanbuc?
I got to figure. No, what we should do is at the end of the year when Kyle tabulates all of these is rather than giving me an additional point, is you should take two away from Matthew and take one away from me because I don't deserve a win for that. Like, I just deserve one fewer loss.
We were both right in that both quarterbacks were going to be absolutely awful.
That's right.
And they were both. You know what's most important, though, is Matthew, you do this all the time. You say, you can be, oh, I'm going to show you. Take a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah,
take a
little
look inside what really happens on this show. Last night, as Jake Fromm, Matthew starts texting the group of us.
Yeah.
Brag.
I was bragging because Ayanbuc on like the first play or something like that throws a pick six. So he's immediately, I'm up 0.2 to -2. And I'm just like, he's going to throw another pick. It took him a while to get there.
So he did. He threw one more.
This was our text chat last
night. That's what football
is.
Don't
be jealous.
Right?
Yeah.
Just in case you guys are wondering, like you're like, oh, like you guys all like screw around on air. No, it's just literally this is what we do. And just there happen to be cameras during 1 hour of the day.
Right. Accurate.
So before we're going to have a couple more live reads. Before we get to those, Daniel, could you give us a quick Survivor League update? Because we are halfway through the finals.
Yeah, we are. And it looks like Stefania is looking to win it all right
now.
Spot. This is going through week 17, our Survivor League is.
Oh, so, okay, 1 week left. That's
1 week left. It's a 3-week
playoff. There's only 1 week left.
Only correct. 1 week left.
Only 1 week left.
Kevin Pulsford looked this up yesterday. Yep. We looked it up. The email that I sent out at the beginning of the year in terms of how we would do the scoring towards the end, the final 4 weeks of the season, final 3 weeks of the season. So it would end in week 17 because what we decided was for the final four players, we would just do a 3-week playoff total points as opposed to, because if we played it out normally, we would at the end of week 17, there'd be two, at the end of week 16, there'd be two teams in week 17 and then one team would get eliminated leaving a champion in week 18. So yes, there's 1 week left. We looked this up. It is you. It is Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, producer Damian Dabrowski. It is
Dennis Reno,
who also produces the show.
And I believe
also produces produces Daily Wager. And then Seth Walder, who does a great job for us at ESPN Stats and Information.
Stefania, you've got Justin Jackson and Devontae Adams. Justin Jackson worked out for you last week.
Wait, how much am I winning by?
Down 25 to Damian.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say Damian. I'm down 25. So just for the record, Damian was ahead by like 40-something going into last week.
You have cut the leads considerably.
But here's the question. Are you playing Justin Herbert against Denver this week or Kyler Murray against Dallas? Because those are your two quarterbacks that you have to choose from.
I don't know. You got to think on it.
All right, we'll think about it.
Reveal my strategy.
We'll think about it. This Survivor League has been so much
fun.
Kyler
Murray, it's been rough. And Dallas defense is really good.
Yeah, did you see what the Dallas defense did last week, Stefania?
I did.
Oh my gosh, it was incredible. Who did they play? I forgot who they even played. They just beat them so badly.
We'll get to them in just a second. We will, I promise. But let's finish up our live reads. We'll do waivers quickly, and then Matthew can have his piece because we know he's got a lot on his mind right now. But before we get to that, this past year has taught us to savor every moment together. Spend less time prepping and cooking and more time with people you love with the help of DoorDash. Get what you want to eat right now and right to your door with DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essential items delivered with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. You craving late night ice cream? Forget that one key ingredient for dinner, or maybe you just need to stock up for the week. With DoorDash, get everything in one app. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. Ordering is easy, and your items will be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code FFF. It's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code FFF. Don't forget, that's code FFF for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, terms apply. All right, we are back, and let's do some waivers quickly, and I'll turn it over to Matthew here. Matthew, just an FYI, I am removing Justin Jackson from the waiver segment here because Austin Eckler was activated off the COVID-19 list yesterday. Let me go and grab my touchscreen. Now you host the rest of the
week. Oh, sure. Okay.
Got it. I love it. It was just like sitting there waiting. Like,
yeah.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, well, we do that. I was just like,
yeah. Anyway, whatever. Yes. I mean, as somebody, Austin Eckler, of course, my fantasy ride or die. So you can imagine how many teams I have Austin Eckler on, how many teams did not have his services last week.
Right.
Tough. Yes, Justin Jackson was not on most of those teams, unfortunately. So bittersweet. Bittersweet. Field Yates, you write the Free Agent Finds, the waiver wire column for us here at ESPN.com. It is up now for your perusing pleasure. Part of our ESPN Plus subscription. And if you're looking for somebody in week 17, who you have? Is there a running back? Is there a quarterback?
Yeah, there's a running back. Let me be honest with you.
There's probably a running back, right?
There is not a player available on the waiver wire this week that I consider an absolute must-grab, must-start option. I just don't think we have an injury that has opened up the door to something like that as of right now. But Dare Ogunbowale for the Jacksonville Jaguars should be a busy man on Sunday against the Patriots. The Jaguars lost James Robinson to a torn Achilles this past week. Ogunbowale played basically every snap from then on out. They have Reichwell Armstead recently brought back from the Packers practice squad, and good for him. He's had quite a journey. He missed the entire year last year due to a massive bout with COVID-19. So it's good to see him back on an active roster. I imagine he'll play some. This Jaguars team obviously has a limited offensive ceiling. By the way, they placed two starting offensive linemen on the COVID-19 list yesterday. They had 11 players go to the COVID list yesterday, did the Jaguars. So I am nervous here, Matthew, but if you're in an absolute pinch, Ogunbowale should be in line for somewhere around 15 total touches.
Phil, can I ask you a question before we move on?
Sure, yeah.
You said with Justin Jackson, Eckler is activated, do you think that he's still worth a speculative ad, given everything that goes on with the COVID issues where, you know, he's a guy that if he gets a role, you know that he would he would be there. But how does that work like with this week? Is he worth still adding for you?
I would think, and maybe Stefania can clarify here, it would be extremely unlikely for Austin Eckler to test positive again and go back on the list within days of coming off the list.
Yeah, I don't want to get into probabilities of anything because there have been some strange things, but okay. I'm assuming he's good to go.
Okay. Right now. Yeah. We just talk about how at this point you want to have guys on your bench that potentially have a chance to play, right? And so dropping the AJ Greens for a Justin Jackson type. But if you,
I think the only way that unless he gets hurt this week in practice or test positive again, which I think seems unlikely. Then I think I would probably feel as though there are better ways to use a roster spot.
Totally fair.
The next running back, you might actually have a case for him as the number one waiver ad this week, and that's Boston Scott for the Philadelphia Eagles. Stefania talked about Miles Sanders being out this week. Jordan Howard, we'll see on him on Sunday, but if Jordan Howard is out, you'd have Boston Scott in line to start against Matthew's Washington football team. Stay tuned for more insight from Matthew on his beloved football team.
But here's the thing. Even if Jordan Howard is active, my expectation is Boston Scott will see a heavy workload. They are one of, if not the run-heaviest team in the NFL over the last however many weeks. And so Washington's defensive line has struggled, obviously.
Right? They have.
I mean, including against these same Eagles last Tuesday. Now, they are healthier. They'll be on a regular schedule, and they just got embarrassed on national television. So you would hope that all those former first-round picks would step up. Instead of fighting each other on the sideline, they would actually fight, the other team a little bit. Mm-hmm. But
save some of the good stuff.
I'll get into it. But anyway, don't worry. I have like 40 years of fandom stored up. Anyway, my point is that I do think Boston Scott is interesting. The concern on Ogunbowale, I agree with you. In terms of the running backs that are available, who has the biggest workload available to him? It's Ogunbowale. He's also playing the Patriots.
Right.
That's the concern.
And he plays for the Jaguars, which is also a concern.
You
see that Trevor Lawrence has like something like one touchdown pass in his last like seven games.
Is it that? I thought it was eight. It might be eight. Like he's literally got more Subway commercials than touchdown passes over the last 2 months.
Wow, spicy for me. Let's get to the next waiver wire ad.
Is it an insult if it's true?
No. Oh, this goes back to right. This it's not is bragging it if it's true.
I'm just asking
it's
America.
Also not an insult if it's true, right?
I'm literally speaking a fact here. I'm literally saying a fact. I think he has two Subway commercials and zero touchdown passes over the last 8 weeks.
Wow, that's tough to do. Let's keep moving forward here. And
he might only have one Subway commercial, but still, it would still be more than,
The Vikings play on Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, they do.
And if Adam Thielen's unavailable, and it just sort of sounds like there's a chance that could be the case, KJ Osborne's the next man up. Osborne has played well recently. He's got a touchdown in three of his past four games, which is correlated with him scoring at least 10 fantasy points in each of those three games. He's a good player. They are going to probably have to keep up. The Vikings currently are in the midst of the longest streak ever in the NFL of one-score games within a single season. Every game is close for Minnesota. They played 12 straight one-score games. KJ Osborne should be a busy man on Sunday night.
Now, I see on your screen there, you've got Josh Palmer, who filled in admirably last week with no Jalen Guyton and no Mike Williams. Mike Williams, I believe, I don't know Guyton's status, but I know Mike Williams is an unvaccinated player.
He's out this week.
So he is out for this week as well. So Josh Palmer should get some work. And then I see Isaiah McKenzie there with no Gabriel Davis and no Cole Beasley, both unvaccinated players, both unlikely to play this week. I guess there's a chance timeline-wise that Beasley might be back.
Yeah, it sounds like Beasley is eligible to be back. We did the math yesterday on the show because he was Tuesday of last week, which brings us to Friday of this week at 10 days. So Beasley should play, which makes me a little hesitant on Isaiah McKenzie because he plays the slot like Cole Beasley does. And if they're splitting work, it's still a lot to ask to start a guy in a fantasy final. The only way, God bless you, Danny, the only way that I think you can probably start Isaiah McKenzie is if Cole Beasley is unavailable or there's language from the Bills saying basically, hey, Isaiah McKenzie's earned the right to play more. And frankly, Cole Beasley hasn't been nearly as effective this year as he was last season. He played a lot better in 2020 than he did this year. Maybe Isaiah McKenzie plays more. I'm adding him, but I'm a little nervous. I'm more than a little nervous playing him this week. I see the upside.
I think it's add him, with the idea that you might start him and wait to see what the news is. Just because Cole Beasley is eligible to be activated on Friday doesn't mean he actually will be activated. We don't expect Gabriel Davis to be able to play here.
He can't. He
can't. So Gabriel Davis is immediately out. Manuel Sanders has been ineffective. They play the Falcons. And Isaiah, half the snaps against the Falcons, when you're on the field with Josh Allen, might be enough to get you a good fantasy day. Again, but you don't want to not pick up McKenzie. And then we get to Friday and turns out Beasley's going to miss the game. And you're like, you go to pick him up and he's already gone in your league. So it's more of a speculative add with the idea that, like, we're not necessarily saying start him, but it'd be nice to have him there in case we get some different news on Cole Beasley or we get reporting that suggests he will have a significant role again on Sunday, because you can't ask for a better matchup than the Falcons.
That's a good way to categorize it, which brings us to our fifth and final waiver wire ad, which is Josh Palmer, who we've been talking about for the Chargers. Again, no Mike Williams in week 17 because of his vaccination status. We'll see on Jalen Guyton. Palmer did lead the Chargers wide receivers in both catches and yards. He found the end zone this past week as well. The Chargers are in a desperate spot here. They need to win. Not a great matchup against the Broncos, though. Pretty stingy defensively, especially in the secondary. But Josh Palmer, another player that I would file under the speculative ad, especially if Jalen Guyton is once again unavailable on Sunday. My big takeaway is, this is not the year in which you're going to be shuffling your lineup a ton from week 16 to 17 unless there are new COVID absences that bubble up at some point between now and Sunday. No Thursday games this week, no Saturday games this week. Everything is on Sunday with one game on Monday. Should be a fun Sunday in week 17.
But it's crazy when you think about no Thursday night games, no Saturday games. You're actually going to have to talk to your family.
Wow.
Up until Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you a heads up.
We got a couple things to do here. Yourselves. So do you want to start?
Going to have to engage with people.
I want to start, if you got the mic, because we want to let Matthew be able to rant. But I want to ask you guys three real quick questions about a couple of players that were real tough last week.
I got one thing, too.
Yeah. Okay, you want to go first?
No, you go first.
You want me to go first? Yep. Okay, I'll go first. All right, I want to empty the bucket real quick, and I want to look back at three players that really struggled last week and whether you're trusting them here this week in the fantasy playoffs.
Quick here.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford, 6.7 fantasy points, 3 interceptions. He looked like the Detroit Lions Matthew Stafford that was just trying to do too much out there. Yeah. I'm still trusting him. Are you guys worried about Matthew Stafford this next week against Baltimore?
I'm trusting because it's a really good matchup. I know they're going on the road, and it's a short, it's a long trip and an early start, but I'm still trusting Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Ravens, you can throw deep on them, and you think about Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr. Just heads up.
Yeah, preferably.
You may see one of those names on the love list coming this week. Again, you can throw deep on Baltimore. I'm trusting Stafford.
All right, so if you made it out of last week with Stafford, roll with him again. What about Saquon Barkley? Is there any way at this point that you're starting Saquon Barkley taking on the Chicago Bears in Chicago after a 28-yard, one-catch performance last week?
Only if I have to, especially if Jake Fromm's back under center.
I mean, no. The answer is no. Honestly, the Chicago defense has played gutty last couple of weeks here. And I get it. Rashad Penny had a nice game last week against them, but whatever.
Saquon Barkley's not Rashad Penny, Matthew Berry.
If you're starting Saquon Barkley, it's because you haven't watched one snap of Giants football.
Yes.
That offense is broken. By the way, bring back Jason Garrett. Their offense has gotten worse. For as much grief as Jason Garrett got about how, quote, bad the offense was with the Giants, I think you can see how the Giants offense is now. And you're like, you know what? Jason Garrett's actually a miracle worker.
Right.
Because they looked like a functioning offense under Jason Garrett. Were they as explosive as you wanted? No. But at least they looked like a professional NFL offense. Right now, they look like I coached them. I mean, it's brutal.
You are correct. But we have another rant we have to get to.
Okay,
and I need 2 minutes to the end of the show, too. Okay?
Last one we have here is Cordarrelle Patterson. Last three games, 5 total receiving yards. Remember when that was what made Cordarrelle Patterson so good? 8.3 fantasy points last week only because of a touchdown that bailed you out. What's the confidence level for you going into this week?
I think they're going to need to score a lot of points, or I think they could be down huge against the Buffalo Bills. So it's medium confidence for me in Cordarrelle Patterson. You may have better options than Patterson this year, but to me, medium confidence.
Yeah, I'm still starting him. I mean, again, they're playing the Patriots. They're playing the Bills, which obviously you think, well, that's not a great matchup, except for the fact, by the way, over the last 4 weeks, the Bills are a bottom 5 run defense. Mm. Damian Harris has scored 3 touchdowns against them. When they get in close, it's more likely than not Patterson's getting the ball. So, again, I get it. Well, he bailed out with a touchdown last week, but he's been bailing out with a touchdown for most of the weeks. I think he's got a better than average chance to score against the Bills on Sunday. I agree with Field. I'm still starting Patterson despite the disappointing last couple of weeks.
Okay,
I'm done. So I need four, and you have 4 minutes, Matthew, because I need 11:58 on for something that's important.
Okay.
Do you want 4 minutes on Washington? No, because I don't want to end on such a sour note. I want to end on a positive note.
Okay.
You have 4 minutes. The clock, 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to ask. First off, I want to open up the floor to Daniel. So you guys know, you should know, I'm a Washington football fan.
Yeah.
Washington football team fan since I'm 5 years old. For literally my entire life. I don't know a time in which I wasn't a fan of the Washington.
Was it called Washington back then? Back in the 1680s?
Right, exactly.
There wasn't even a country
yet. The territories hadn't been
the
formed
territory
yet, right?
The Washington Territory.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yes, okay, got it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, I lived in Virginia until I was 12 years old, which is where that comes from, and then I grew up in Texas from that point forward. But I've spent a lot of time on this show. I've made fun of the Detroit Lions, Daniel.
Yes.
Time and time again. Stefania Bell, when it has been lean times for the 49ers, I have gone in after you. So I would like to open up the floor to both Daniel and Stefania. Have at it. Say your worst. Make as much fun as you want, because I have to tell you something. It's deserved. It's absolutely deserved. The humiliation and lack of effort from the Washington football team on a national stage. Like, it's one thing to lose, but go ahead. I would like to open the floor.
Here's the deal. I'll say this.
Go ahead.
Dallas scored 42 points in the first half. I feel pretty comfortable that they could have scored 70 if they actually tried football. Yeah. Like, seriously. It was, you've come at me, and I don't want to do this, but, like, be mean about it.
No, go
that
for it.
That was about as abysmal of a performance as I have seen of a football game. And I watch the Lions every single week.
Right, exactly.
The best part was Washington having their imported, like, heated, like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah,
that really helped them, you know. I think they need to focus on, like, the key things, maybe not the accoutrement. I would say that just looking at the sideline of Dallas versus the sideline of what was going on with Washington.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Not professional. That, you know, fight, how you always say professional football team, Matthew. Not been a professional football team lately.
No, I don't. I'll tell you this right now. Washington is not allowed to use the word football.
Yes.
They're the Washington team.
Are they even a team right now?
Not really.
They're allowed to use Washington.
Collective.
But actually, their stadium's collective, like, in Maryland. So honestly, they're. So I don't
DMV.
Even know.
DMV.
Right.
They're the DMVs. That's
it. DMVs. Like, they're, you know, they're a collection of players. I mean, what do you do to that? Right. Like, I understand. Hey, you know what? They were traveling on a short week. You know, they had to play the Tuesday. But you know what? The reason they had to play the Tuesday? Because they have some unvaccinated players. They didn't follow the rules the way some of the other players did. We had so many COVID cases. And I understand there's a lot of teams that are also affecting that as well. But 30?
No, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. I have 30. Whatever. Boy,
I'll say this.
Come on!
No,
like,
no,
here's
no.
the thing. You know what's the worst part of being a Washington fan? And there's a lot of things I could choose from here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But being public about it and actually having a little bit of hope, because we played well for a little while. But then to get dominated like that, humiliated like that, and hearing from all your friends laughing at you. And you know what you have to do? You just have to take it. Because there's no response you have. You have to take it. Because just like the Washington football team took it, whatever Dallas wanted to do. And to do it to Dallas, who, you know, like, our biggest rivals.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Like, for the love of God.
Two. One. Good job. All right. You got it off your chest. You could probably go for another 2 hours.
But another 2 hours.
We have more important
Show
news.
Show up.
Okay. Well, we have
Don't
important news.
Ron
let's
Rivera
pivot
like
and let's
that.
End the appropriate way. Tomorrow. Today is December 28th.
Their defense. You know how many first round picks they've spent on defensive
I
players?
I do. Yes. Tell me about this next year. Okay. Because the next time that we talk to Matthew Bear in this podcast will be next year. Matthew is going to be gone for the rest of this week. And tomorrow is a very special day. We love nothing more, truly, than to give Matthew a lot of grief. And frankly, we give him plenty of grief. We make fun of several things about Matthew. But he is the engine that runs this joint. He is the GOAT of fantasy football. If there was a day that deserved to be a holiday in the world of fantasy football, it would be Matthew Berry's birthday, which is tomorrow. I'm not going to remark what number it is. It's lower than you think. But there are so many people out there. There are so many people out there that make a living out of fantasy football, or are trying to make a living out of fantasy football, or that one day make a living out of fantasy football. And almost every single one of them, all the people on the show included, owe a debt of gratitude to Matthew, because
Absolutely.
Matthew has helped turn fantasy football into what it is right now, which is one of the most popular things that everybody in our country, heck, all over our world, enjoy. So while it would be great for me to spend the next 90 seconds just ripping on Matthew. I'd rather instead do what we all deserve to do today, which is celebrate you one day early and thank you for being a great teammate, the person who brings as much energy and passion and love to fantasy football as anybody in this massive crowded sea of people all doing it, Matthew. So while we're going to miss you tomorrow, we're happy that you get to be with family and be with loved ones and spend a day however you most choose.
Thank you, Phil. That means a lot. That's really, really awesome.
And shut up, Matthew. You already talked about it on the podcast.
It's our turn.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We love you so much, Matthew.
I appreciate and, that.
Field's right. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. Certainly not me. I came to ESPN 14 years ago because of an invitation from Matthew Berry, and it helped position me as one of the first women in fantasy football, and that's a huge credit to Matthew. I think opened the door and continues to open the door for women in fantasy football.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Matthew either, with everything that he's done for me and the fantasy show. And first time they put a bearded weirdo on television, I know that was a thing. So I appreciate everything that you've done, Matthew. You are one of my favorite people in this entire world.
You guys are trailblazers in your own right. And of course, Matthew, the original trailblazers. So happy birthday. Do you want to give like a 30-second preview of how you hope to spend your day tomorrow?
Ooh. I'm going to be in Florida. I'm getting on a plane after this, and nice. I'm my family, wife and right? kids, and we're going down to Florida and get out of the. They got the week
you
off.
You cake
from
guy or no?
Huh?
You cake guy?
Cake guy, yes. Yeah.
Big favorite cake,
ice cream cake. I like my ice cream cake. So
okay, good. It might melt in Florida, so eat it fast.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we'll be in tomorrow.
Margaritas.
And, we have some friends. A lot of margaritas.
Yeah, yes.
Margaritas. I'll be poolside drinking margaritas tomorrow. I appreciate everyone stepping up and allowing my bosses and you guys saying, you know what? Hey, your kids are off from school this week. Take the week. Daniel's going to host the fantasy show week as well. Mike Clay filling in for me tomorrow here. So thank you very much. There'll still be a love-hate column, and I'll be back for Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. But thank you, guys. If there's one disappointment of my birthday, that I won't be actually be here spending with you, because it is this is my favorite hour of every day. So thank you, guys. That means a lot.
We love Matthew. We love you, buddy. We hope you have a wonderful birthday. We will find a way to bring your usual energy. Probably won't quite meet that energy level tomorrow, but we'll do our best. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is here Wednesday for a Friday preview. It's our last show of the week. In the meantime, wish Matthew a happy birthday somewhere on social media. For Daniel and Stefania and Matthew, I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.